So it's a cracking show on your way between now and 7 o'clock. And so if there is dead air, if we trail off mid-sentence, it is because we have half an eye on that All-Ireland football final. Ciarán, you think the GAA would like not clash the All-Ireland final with the Big Red Bench? When they're scheduling this, they should have thought, actually, hang on a second, the Big Red Bench is on at 6. That'll take away a massive part of our viewership in Cork. We should put it to 7 o'clock. We should play it at 4 o'clock.
I did mention this yesterday to the head of social media up in Crow Park.
I'm sure it'll be noted for the next time that all replays have to make sure they do not clash with the Big Red Bench, because no one in Cork is not watching this game because they're all listening to the Big Red Bench.
Well, that's it. And she said she'd take it into account and that she would note it. That's probably that.
Well, there is a Cork man in the middle of the pitch today as well. Connor Lane taking charge. This is third All-Ireland final?
Third All-Ireland in 4 years. Hmm. 2016 and the replay in... or last year, was it? Or final last year, replay 2016, I think. Sure, look, it's fantastic for a guy who used to go training with me up in Bandir in the depths of winter a couple of years ago.
Not a couple of years now, Ciarán, you'll be the man in the middle of the park. You'll be getting us all the tickets for the All-Ireland final. The Dubs attacking Hill 16 in the first half, not entirely sure much of a factor that is.
I think it would be better for them if they were in the second half. I think they might need it more. Not that I think Dublin will need a crowd behind them, but I think they play better when they're shooting into the hill in the second half.
Yeah.
But in saying that, it might be a
Dublin off the mark after 19 seconds here as well. 20 seconds. It's Dublin leading by a point to no score. I reckon Dublin are going to win this by 4 or 5. I want Kerry to win, but I reckon Dublin will have learned a lot more from the first game. They'll also have, well, they may have all 15 players for the full 70 minutes this time as well. I think Kerry left behind them the last time. I think Dublin by 4 or 5 points. What are you going for?
I really want Kerry to win.
Yeah.
Possibly Dublin by a point.
As a Corkman as well, how hard is it for you to say the words, "I really want Kerry to win"?
It's not. I lived in Kerry, so it's a lot easier for me than a lot of others.
I worked in radio Kerry, so it's grand. I'm actually kind of connected to the team, so I can actually shout for Kerry and not be me.
Yeah.
That's all I heard there, Ciarán. Sorry.
2 points up, Dubliner, after 2 minutes. But
start.
I want Kerry to win, but I think Dublin will. Plus the changes that they've made in the last half hour before the start of the match. Dermot O'Connor coming in for captain Gavin White. Gavin White probably didn't have the best of finals last week, or 2 weeks ago, but Dermot O'Connor is you wouldn't have put him in. You wouldn't have been thinking of him going in if they were making changes. He wouldn't have been first on your list. But Owen Merchant for Dublin has started rather than being on the bench in place of Michael Darren McCauley. And Owen Merchant had a fantastic game in the drawn match. So that's probably... I'd have to fancy Dublin by a point. I think I would like Kerry to win. They've just got off the mark as well with a point, Sean O'Shea. But hopefully it'll be a good game, and sure, we'll have updates in it.
And rather spectacularly, Norwich City are 2 goals up on Manchester City.
Wow.
34 minutes gone on the clock there. Norwich 2, Manchester City 1. We'll get you an update from that one in just a bit. Ian Beach, the Carrow Road, but we'll get you an update as soon as that comes down the wire.
Yeah, busy day of sporting action. But just as we were talking about the Dublin-Kerry game, to start with that, it's Dublin who lead 2-1, but they're on the attack again, and it could be another score, is it? It looks like a third point for Dublin after 3 minutes, so 3-1.
Yeah, electric start. That's not the start you want to be giving Dublin if you're Kerry.
No, you can't. You can't really go in behind to Dublin at half time. Although Kerry did 2 weeks ago, and they did manage to level it. But anyway, it's Kerry Dublin who lead 3-1 in that match. And Bernard Brogan on the bench as well. There was lots of talk about him not being on the bench last day, and James O'Donoghue for Kerry not being on the bench last day. But they've both made the bench today. Here in Cork, plenty of championship action. Saying the Premier Intermediate hurling grade, Inniscarra defeated Castle Lyons 23-118. Kilwart had a big win over Carrigaline, line 125-412. I'll leave you to do the maths on that yourself. Blarney and Valley Rovers in Parky Rin. The Cork County Board knew that the bench would be on because this one's on at 7:45. In the intermediate grade, Airog overcame St. Catherine's 118-114. Bullock had a good win over Douglas 117-11. Clidove going very, very strong this year, 122 to Mwelands 111. And Kildare had a win over Kilbritton 113 to 13 points. In the Junior A County Hurling Championship quarterfinal, Brian Dillon's, the city champions, overcame the Duhallow runners up Kilbrin 218 to 212 was how it finished there. In football, you just mentioned Man City taking on Norwich, but it's not going their way. We'll come back to that in a minute. But earlier, Liverpool came from behind to beat Newcastle 3-1 at Anfield. Manager Jurgen Klopp said he was a bit disappointed with their start to the game.
Newcastle did what they did. They do that really well. And always a threat for counter-attacks. It's difficult. So that's how they scored the goal. And we all know that makes the game not easier. So we need another 15, 16 minutes to set the rhythm then.
They're really on fire so far this season.
Yeah, looking very, very good indeed. They look like they've improved on last season, actually. So it's, it looks probably going to go down to the wire again between themselves and Man City.
Great scenes. So you just couldn't give it to Liverpool there, could you?
Well, I just praised them. I said they look better than last year, and so I'm going to go down to the wire again.
It'll still go down to the wire, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't give it to them. All last season, same story. Anyway, elsewhere today, Spurs defeated Crystal Palace by 4-0. Man United were 1-0 winners over Leicester City. Chelsea and Wolves had a goal fest. We'll hear about that in a second. Brighton and Burnley, they drew one apiece, while Sheffield United lost 1-0 at home to Southampton. Over in Scotland, champion Celtic defeated Hamilton 1-0. James Forrest grabbing the goal there. Cork City took on Cork City legends at Turner's Cross St. Finished 3-3 in normal time. There was some sort of penalties.
Yeah, this was interesting because it finished 3-3, right? Ollie Cahill made it 3-3 for the Cork City Legends team. They were 3-1 down. They came back. Paul Boudram with two great goals as well for the Legends team. He ran the show. He was brilliant. Come here. Today was an absolutely fantastic. We'll talk about it more in a minute. But it finished. Ollie Cahill got that goal, made it 3-3. The referee blew it up at 5 minutes to go. because of wanting to organise a penalty shootout. The entire ground just came onto the pitch. I went over to Graham Kelly, who's a referee. He's like, Graham, what's the story? You're doing penalties? Like, I wanted to, like, that's why. So they ended up taking a penalty shootout with about 400 people around the 18-yard box. I was interviewing Derek Collin at the time. We'll hear from Derek in a bit, but I couldn't see the penalties. Derek is a tall man. I am not, so he was able to see them. So the long and short of it is, I don't know who won the penalty shootout.
And Dan Murray had a legitimate penalty. Goal, possibly, I think, if you look at the angle of it, on the Big Red Bench Twitter account, the video of it, I think Graham said, nah, even though it
was. Yeah, if they had VAR and Turner's Cross, it might have gone to VAR, all right, yeah. We hear from Dan Murray as well. I asked him about that penalty in just a bit.
Elsewhere, the Aidan O'Brien train Magical has won the Group 1 Irish Champion Stakes at Leopardstown, the 11-10 favourites off stablemate Magic Wand and Anthony Van Dyke. Elsewhere, Michael Nevin has beaten his Lithuanian opponent to advance to the last 16 of the World Boxing Championships in Russia. The Portleash middleweight won on a unanimous decision. And Sergio Garcia and Callum Shinquin are in a tie for the lead on 13 under after day 3 of the KLM Dutch Open in Amsterdam. Gavin Moynihan heads the Irish Challenge on 7 under following a 68.
Thank you, Kieran. You mentioned that goal fest at Molyneux.
Full time at Molyneux is finished. Wolves 2, Chelsea 5. A hat trick from Tammy Abrahams. A brilliant goal to open the scoring from Tomori. And to finish off, a goal by Mason Mount sealed the victory for Chelsea. Roman Saiz got a goal for Wolverhampton Wanderers in the 69th minute. And Cutrone gave hope of a comeback in the 84th minute. But it was not to be. Chelsea have outplayed Wolves. Finished Wolves 2, Chelsea 5.
All right, it's Dublin 4 points, Kerry a point after close to 8 minutes. Come on.
Sorry, it's, they've just gotten a fifth now as well.
All right, so it's 5 points to one after, 8 minutes? They're already doing their sideways passing.
They're all over Kerry here, and Kerry put in stupid passes that they're just not catching. It's actually a master show by Dublin at the moment.
So Kerry have to do some adjustments there. 6 o'clock on a Saturday doesn't feel like an All-Ireland, does it?
It doesn't.
It's weird.
And even the build-up, there was no real build-up to it.
Neither of them did press conferences before the replay, which I thought was a bit weird. Like, at least the managers could have gone and met the press, you know what I mean?
They could have, but, well, Dublin are known for not really talking to the media.
When they're talking to the media.
But they have a media manager. I'm not quite sure what that
is. He's obviously managing them very well, maybe too well.
Probably a bit too well, because they don't do media. But yeah, Kerry really in trouble here. They have a lot of work to do.
It's early stages, yet, the early doors.
Early doors, but Dublin really on top. Yeah, no, there's another silly ball.
Some top notch commentary there from Kieran O'Regan. Yeah, no, forget about it. We have a competition on the show tonight. We have two pairs of tickets to give away to Cork City and Finn Harps. They go head to head on Friday night. In what some people are talking a relegation battle, you know, City are 7 points clear. But yeah, win for City takes all that away on Friday night. So we have two pairs of tickets to give away. We'll keep it Alan Bennett themed, right? So I want you to text your name and your address to 086-8104-106, 086-8104-106, and tweet us the answer to this question. Who was Alan's centre defence partner when they won the league in 2005? So who played alongside Alan Bennett at the centre of defence when they won the league in 2005? 086-8104-106, and put in your name, your address, and the answer to that question. Will draw out the winners just before the end of the show. And speaking of Alan Bennett, his testimonial was a fantastic success today. Really enjoyable game. Great to see a number of legends play across the 90 minutes. Really, really enjoyable day. We're going to hear from a number of the players, but first, the man himself, who's speaking to Colm.
Brilliant. Great club day. Great to see everyone. Great to see all the lads for the game. You know, they're all in good form. So, sunshine came as well. It was brilliant.
We had loads of ex-players, we had ex-managers, we had proper Cork City legends, and we saw a little bit of magic there from Georgie and Flinney at the end as well.
Yeah, it was good to see. Roll back the years there, the two of them, when they combine, and Fenny as well in the first half, putting on good stuff. I had to let him score because he's the manager, so it was brilliant.
Like, a day like today is great for the club, I suppose, because it hasn't been the best season, obviously, and there's been a lot of disappointing nights here at Turner's Cross. But a day like today, there's nothing at stake, and everyone can kind of just enjoy it, so that's brilliant too, isn't it?
Absolutely, and look, that's what our club's about. Like, you know, other codes celebrate teams that have been successful in the past, and why shouldn't we? You know, it's important that we just see that there's ex-players around the city and around the county and around the country, and they all enjoy coming here, and it's brilliant.
You've had so many great days, great nights here at Turner's Cross, and with some of these players over different teams, different eras. You were here for your earlier spell, you won a league, you came back, you won a league and two cups again. So two hugely successful spells, Benno. Like, what were the highlights? I asked you on the pitch earlier, what were the highlights today? You'll find it hard to pick them out, I suppose, if you have even two or three.
It is hard to narrow it down. Like, just being here with all the lads was totally bringing back, it was surreal a bit, you know. It was bringing back that 05 team, and then you're thinking about the 17 team, and as I said, the two nights here against, both against Derry, both here. The first half of that season in 17 was the best I've been involved in ever, and that night here against Derry in 05 was the best game I've been involved in ever. So that's kind of the way I split them up in my own head, and then the cups are just in their own section and altogether.
I was just talking to Pat Dolan and Flinney there as well, and they were mentioning the 05 team and with the league win and all. That was a special night against Derry here when he won the league. It was the last night of the old shed as well, and the celebrations were crazy. It was just, it felt like it was like a building over a few years, and it was just finally the league was back here.
Absolutely, that's the way it goes. You build up a team, you keep it together, and you go from second, eventually. Same with,
I suppose that was the same under John Coughlin in exactly, 2017 as well. Yeah,
exact same. You don't fluke your way to a league title in one season, you know, and it takes work and time, and that's exactly what Neil will need now. You know, you'll need time and you need lots of hard work, and hopefully put together a team that'll challenge next year, and then you move off from that and then challenge again the next year, and then you get closer.
You played under most of the legendary Cork City managers. We've Pat Dolan here today, Damien Richardson, John Caulfield. I mean, you've played under them all. Like, I'm not going to ask you to pick a favourite manager, but it must be great to play under those guys.
Pat Dolan mentioned at halftime that
he's obviously going to want you to say it's him. Like, but
in the programme, this was basically his halftime talk. He said, in the programme, Alan Bennett picked his favourite manager as John Caulfield, and he just left it at that. So, look, as I said, they were different managers at different times, and they brought different things to my game and different things to this city. And it's just, they're all of them underneath it all, though, really love this club, and that you can't fake that. You have to have a genuine passion for the club, and it just came through in those managers, and it was just brilliant.
And you love this club yourself. I mean, supporting it as a boy, coming in through the ranks, playing for Cork City here. I was saying to the lads as well, I remember one of your first games here. I don't know, was it your debut now, or you know what I'm going to say, yeah, or was it one of your early games anyway? Yeah. And I saw you, I was over there in the Derry Nand with my dad, and I saw you score one of the most spectacular own goals of all time. There, you've come a long way, kid.
Yeah. Up there. I think it's got longer and longer over the years, and I don't remember Mick Devine.
Was that your debut, or was it?
No.
It wasn't too far.
It was, I'd say that was 2002 maybe.
Yeah.
I'd say I came into the youths in 2000 and then broke into the first team in 2001. But it wasn't too far.
Yeah.
Couldn't, like, listen, I'm just so happy social media wasn't around. Like.
Do you know what? I went searching for it recently. I can't find it.
I paid Google out to take that off. That's erased. I'm not sure there is any. I hope, thank God, there isn't. But I swear, social media now would have destroyed me, I'd say, as a young footballer. Look, it was...
But look, you more than made up for it over the years after that.
Yeah, yeah. It was either make or break, I suppose, after that. But look, these things happen. I was just about there. I went to make a tackle, flew in. Still thinking I should have caught it, but anyway.
It was a great moment here today for you and your family and everything. You came out there at the start, you had all the legends around, yeah, the kids and everything with you. That must be really special.
That was cool, yeah. That was really cool. Because, like, my nephews and my nieces, like, live up in Newry and live in Clare. So they come down and... You know, they tell everyone that they're Cork City supporters in those counties, and that's brilliant. Like, they can come down and enjoy today, and that's really what I was thinking about when I planned this whole day. Like, was around the family. You know, that's what I wanted to do for.
So, what does the future hold for Alan Bennett now? Obviously, you'll see out the season as a player with Cork City. Are you going to call it a day after that? Do you want to play on? Have you other plans? Do you want to go into coaching?
Yeah, I probably have a conversation with Neil Fenn come the end of the season, but it'll probably be my last season. I'm probably going to head into, hopefully, the academy coach and stay involved with that. Heading down the road with teaching, so that's probably where I'm fading into now. But I suppose it'll eventually end up with a conversation with Neil and Colin Healy then regarding the coaching. We'll just make the calls from there, really.
But you definitely want to stay involved with the club, I'd imagine.
Listen, whether I'm here as a player, a coach, a supporter, I will 100% be involved in this club. I'll find a spot, I'll get my Friday night routine around it, and I'll just plan the whole week around the game.
I love that attitude, brilliant. So look, a great day for you, I suppose. A great night tonight now as well as planned.
Absolutely. All welcome. Open house as always.
Make an appearance, aren't
you? Yeah, come on in. We celebrate with the best, and hopefully there'll be any videos come out tomorrow.
No, phones and videos are banned tonight. Great. But listen, Benno, congrats on a great day. Congrats on a great career with Cork City, and well done, and thanks for everything.
I really appreciate everything.
No worries. Thank you.
Yeah, it's Alan Bennett there speaking after his testimonial today, and a little bit emotional as well. And surprising he didn't get the traditional testimonial penalty. City were awarded a penalty in the second half. Christina Dring was taken down by goalkeeper Anthony Fennelly, but as she stepped and took it herself atop, Benno might have taken that. But not the kind of guy who wants that kind of attention, I think, Ciarán.
There was no one man enough to take him down inside the box and give him the penalty. But
well, there was that. He played midfield in the first half, actually, because he played midfield with the youth when he came into the City. He played centre half in the second half. I'm going to hear from Dublin 6 points, Kerry 3 points, is how it stands now after 16 and a half minutes of the game. It's after kind of levelling off a bit here.
Small, but Kerry just on the attack now after a Dublin point, so 7-3, and Kerry have got another one, so 7-4. So they're starting to come back into it, but a very, very slow start. But they have a lot of work to do to bring themselves back in to level that game, and it's something you don't really want to do against Dublin. But anyway, it is what it is. It's 7-4 after 17 minutes.
Right, going to hear from some of Benno's teammates at today's testimony. I'm going to hear first from Joe Gamble.
Joe, come here. A great day today, wasn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. Look, the weather was brilliant as well, and obviously it was great for us to see all our faces, and it's great for Alan, obviously. I mean, look, he's been a great servant of Cork City. He's had two great spells there, and he's just a great man. Really, he's a lovely fella. He's you know, for me, look, I've had great memories with Alan, you know, with the 0-5 winning team.
Hard luck, Joe. I think you lost the game, but listen, don't worry about it. Unlucky. We were the better side.
You were the hero, did you?
Thanks, Pat. Will you send me back, Pat? But I think I said, going back to Alan, I think, look, we've had great times with him, 0-5, and special memories with him and me making an international debut together in New York. And he's just a great fella. In fairness, he's a great career, you know, for a person who's come through the Cork City ranks, through the youth team with us, and to go on and have a great career. It's great, it's fantastic. Really.
Kind of shows, really, with all the players that came out for his testimonial today, how highly he is regarded. Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, look, you wouldn't have a bad word to say about Benno, like, because he's just a good guy. Like, as simple as that. He's not, you know, he's honest, he's someone you can depend on. I mean, look, if, you know, I'm sure if any of the lads were in trouble outside football and you rang him, I'm sure he'd come to your aid. You know, can he start sort of fella? I mean, he's just a top guy, really, to be honest with you.
As for the game itself, who surprised you, the legends?
The legends, okay. Well, I know George, he never changed it because he never passed the ball. I know Tony Tynan, go back in the day, wouldn't pass the ball either, but in fairness to him, I know, listen, it was great crack, like, and, you know, it was good. I mean, look, we've played a few charity games over the last couple of years. I think Neil Horgan has been great for that. He's trying to get the kind of the lads back together and do kind of charity gigs. So it's great for us just to meet up, and sure, you don't talk about football, you just talk about the crack that you had, like, and that's what it's about, really.
Great nostalgia buzz, though, seeing George across the Firfinnies, heads at home.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. I mean, look, sure, that's what. Sure, we all want to relive memories. And even for us, like, you know, come back and play on the cross, and sort of like it was kind of 10 years ago, it feels like it was yesterday. And yeah. You know, it's for all of us, it's brilliant. I mean, we see all the lads here, the families and kids, and just to create, so I suppose, a circle really in it. And, you know.
I suppose the biggest talking point from the day is Liam Kearney hitting the crossbar from a yard out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then he was giving Richie, he was actually giving me a bit of stick for trying to back heel a goal, or why am I in the box? Like, so,
but Richie Regan hit the post from a yard out.
And I tried to send him off, he wouldn't go off. But no, Richie was trying to be cool as ice, and actually, you know, he knocked himself out. The ball ricocheted off the post and knocked him out. But that was good. Look, it was brilliant. It was, I mean, look, as well, the weather makes a big difference. Yeah. Well, and just, it was just a great pause, really.
Excellent. Thanks, Sean.
All right.
Yeah, it's Joe Gamble there speaking after today's game. Everyone certainly enjoying themselves at Adam Bennett's testimonial. Kerry have narrowed the gap a bit here.
Yeah, 7 points to 5 after 20 minutes. Kerry on the attack again. They're on the 20. They're going into the 13. They've passed it off to David Clifford, I think, is it? He's shot over, and that has gone over the bar to David Clifford. So 7-6. So we have a real game now, actually, on our hands. It's pretty good.
All right, we're going to hear from Dave Hill.
Here with Dave Hill. Dave, how was it today?
Hot. Hard work, but brought back so many good memories being here for 5 years and another 3 years with Damien. Brought back game, great game back on the pitch. Loved it to bits. Just sad I can't do it anymore.
You still have it though, don't you?
Yeah, I use the ball a bit more now, and I don't get involved with much tackles. So as you see, I didn't get one foul against me today.
Yeah,
but I'm sure you've seen the off to the ball incidents.
Well, yeah, there was a couple of those. Which of the legends surprised you? Which of them like still had it?
Ollie.
Yeah.
Ollie Cowell. Yeah. Yeah. He's still dead slim. He's fast. Some things he never did when he did when he was playing when he's three and everything. So yeah, it's great. It's great seeing the lads again. It brings back so many great memories. So
I think a few of the lads were saying you should do this kind of more often.
We've just come out of the dressing room there, and we're just saying we should do this yearly. You know what I mean? And some kind of charities do that. You know?
Yeah.
I say it was busy today. It was unfortunate, Benno. I think there's some rugby on, and the garlic football was on today as well, so.
And tell me about Benno. I mean, like, what a man. I mean, like, you saw that by the amount of players that came out for them, the fans that came out.
Well, my first memories of Benno was the Intertoto Cup in Israel, and he was out there with his parents, you know, he's only knee high, you know what I mean, and he was so enthused then. And I saw him later on when he just started playing for the underage group, and we played a friendly down there when I was at Cove, and he was tough as teak. And when I got back down there with Damien and we won the league, he's an awesome defender. Great defender. Forget the rest of it, but Ben will give you 100% all the time. Even if he's in a bad day, he'll still give you 100%. One of the nicest lads you'll ever met in football, and that's saying a lot, you know. He really is. And when he was offered to come down and play in it, even though I've got a bad hip and everything and my legs are gone, I said, yeah, of course. And it's another chance to get on Turner's Cross and play for Benno. And it's great. He's had 10 great years and great years in football. And it's all the memories now. It's all downhill for him now.
And one of the big talking points was Liam Kearney hitting the crossbar from the yard out, 2 yards out.
I don't know. We had a right winger there, and he had missed an open goal, and he put it in a row Z. So I know. They see the lights, they see the cameras, they think they've scored the goal, and they relax and everything, and it goes over the bar as usual. So he got a point, didn't he?
Yeah. Dave, pleasure, buddy.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Yeah, great to talk to my old buddy Dave Hill there after today's Alan Bennett testimonial. Scores flying in Croke Park here.
They are 8-7 in the Gaelic football.
As Dave says, yeah.
Never heard it pronounced that way, but anyway. Kerry have got another one back through Paul Ganey as well, but 8-7 is what it is. But Dublin on the ball again, playing very, very well still after 22 and a half minutes, and they're kind of just passing the ball around at the moment, you know.
That's what Dublin do.
Yeah, kind of frustrate any player, really. And you can go in to make mistakes then when you just get frustrated and you go in for the ball, and then you make a mistake, and Dublin.
Yeah, I suppose for Kerry it's about being comfortable without the ball, sitting in shape, and as you say, just not doing anything stupid, not giving them the chance, and I suppose going 15 on 15 basically, isn't it?
Yeah, the problem is Kerry are still persisting with the long diagonal ball, and it's not really working for them. I don't think they have the players in. Tommy Walsh would be the man for that, but he's on the bench. But look, they're obviously looking at him as an impact sub, and he obviously was an impact sub 2 weeks ago. But Dublin on the ball now again. I can't see who it is, but he's running around a couple of Kerry players, and he's shot. No, the referee has given a free anyway. They had got a point, but he's brought it back for a free.
That'll make it 9-7.
It should, yeah, it's in front of the goal. It's 9-7 here after 24 minutes. But pending, he puts it over.
A couple of talking points from Alan Bennett's testimonial today. One of them was Neil Fenn, the current Cork City boss. Pulled off probably the best first touch I've ever seen, ever, at any level of the game, at any ground, ever. Ball was pinged up to him. He stuck his leg up over his head and took it down with one touch. It was ridiculous. I snapped my hamstring just looking at it.
He must be doing yoga, is he?
It was incredible. I'm not messing with you. One of the best first touches, possibly the best first touch I've ever seen. Ever. It was incredible. Second off was Paul Bowden running the show for the City 11 in the second half, getting two good goals. Ollie Cahill, the former Cork City hero, turned City villain when he left us. Mm. It was very, very good as well. George O'Callaghan and John O'Flynn, seeing those guys link up again was absolutely superb. And Georgie put in a great ball for John's header. It was absolutely fantastic. Dennis Bain hitting a volley from 12 yards that went up over the bar, over the shed and into the Curragh Road itself. And the other was Liam Kearney hitting the crossbar from, I'm not even joking, about 3 inches out. Not joking. It was that close. It's getting closer and closer every time I tell it. So I thought the only thing to do was to ask Liam directly for what happened.
Right, with Liam Kearney at Alan Bennett's testimony, what has been a fantastic day, fantastic weather, fantastic football. First off, Liam, you hit the crossbar from a yard and a half out. Can you explain what happened?
I just looked at the flag. I thought I saw it go up, and obviously I took the foot off the gas, but I actually hit the crossbar twice today, so I'll just have to get the abuse later on.
Joking aside, it was a great day, wasn't it?
Brilliant. Do you know what? It just shows what Alan means to the club, and obviously the players that turned out and made the effort to get back and play, and obviously the fans. So it's great for Alan. He deserves it. What he's done for the club has been unbelievable, and he's a great fella to go with it.
How do you find it being back at Turner's Cross wearing the Cork City jersey again?
Sure, listen, it's great to be playing with old faces. Do you know, we think we can still do what we used to, but we can't. Well, I certainly can't.
George and Flynn looked like they could still do it.
They could. It was a great ball. It was like old times watching them linking up. So it was really good. And look, as I said, it's just great to see old faces, and I think everyone really enjoyed it.
Who of the legends surprised you? Who like was better than you thought they would be today?
Well, I think Ollie Cahill certainly could play. No, never mind. So I think you look at Ollie, he still has what he had back then. You know, a great turn of pace, and look, he's obviously looked after himself very well.
And what can you say about Alan Bennett that really hasn't been said already? Look,
look, I suppose everyone knows what he's like as a player. I think maybe not everyone would know what he's like off the pitch, but you know, he's a great fella, great human being, and what he gives back to the underage now as well is great. And look, he's a club legend, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's Liam Kearney there explaining how he managed to hit the crossbar from a yard out, blaming the linesman. Actually, one of the linesmen today was our old friend Lucas Keating, yeah, once of this parish.
I did see some pictures of you not in the press box.
No, to be honest, I did have to. Like, it was Lucas's debut. It was the first time he was on the line in Turner's Cross, so it was a big moment for him. So I thought it was possibly the good thing for me to do was to go down to the side. Lucas is on the far side and basically call him a sausage every time he passed. And I did that for a good 5-6 minutes. But the professionalism didn't even acknowledge it. Just kept his head straight.
Kept going.
What a man. All right, going to hear from Dan Murray, who was Alan's defensive partner in that 2005 winning season.
Dan, what's it like being back in the Cork City shirt at Turner's Cross?
Brilliant, yeah. I think it's... I've always loved playing at Turner's Cross. So it was nice to be back on. Great day for it. Great to see all the lads again. To be honest, that's the most important thing. We don't meet up as much as we should do. But so it's great. Great. And good send-off for a good lad.
Which of the legends surprised you today? Which were better than you expected? Or worse than you expected?
I doubt if any of us were any good.
Well,
but Mick can still play in goal. Fenner's done all right as well. Fenner's two goalkeepers are very good. But yeah, it was good. It was. I think it was. It could have been about 18 all really if people took their chances. But
again, currently hitting the crossbar from 3 yards.
And the lad there in the first half. So, but it was good. It's good. It's good to see it. Like I said, it's good to see all the lads again. Like, we don't do it enough really. When I was thinking Pat Dolan was going through the programme, and he was going, when we played Nijmegen in the Turner Cup 2004, that's 15 years ago. It's hard to put. Yeah. Hard. The good times that were there, and great memories, to be honest.
And what can you say about Alan Bennett then?
Well, nothing, isn't it? Like, he is a true City great, like, born and bred Cork. I think he would have played for Cork. A great servant for the club in his two stints, so I think everything's said to him. He's just a quality player and a quality fella.
Thanks,
Dan Murray speaking afterwards there. Coming up in a half an hour gone now here in Croke Park, and Dublin's still with a lead, but it's not going all their own way.
No, Kerry have a free in front of goals.
Conor Lane looks like he had a big decision to make there, didn't he?
He went into the umpire. I think it was the wrong man.
Right.
I think the wrong man got a black card. Number three, I didn't catch his name, no, but number three is gone, but it should have been number four. From what I can see on the TV, the lads might have seen something different and told them that we don't know, we're not privy to what they're saying, but it looked like it was 14 actually for Dublin. Actually brought the player down as opposed to three. Now, three did put the arm around the head, but I think that was more innocuous than anything. Yeah, well, three is gone. Anyway, Dublin have continued on. It's 9-8 after 29 and a half minutes. And it's now 10 points, actually. Conor Lane wouldn't have rushed into a decision like that anyway, so there must have been something else going on. But, anyway, look, it is what it is. But Dublin 10-8 after 30 minutes, another 5 minutes to go before half-time.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to hear now from Michelle Campion, the cult hero, speaking on... he's returned to Cork for Bennett's testimonial.
Cecil Campion, how are you, sir? Great to see you back in
fantastic.
Cork.
Fantastic. It's brilliant to be here.
You brought the sunshine with you anyway today.
Exactly.
What was it like being back in Cork and back in Turner's Cross?
It's a fantastic day for Alan. It's an amazing club day as well. So you see all the nice people around. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and a fantastic day for Alan, as you mentioned.
Yeah, fantastic. What a career he's had, you know, and he's such a great guy that for all of us, it means a lot to be here for him today.
Yeah, exactly. You can see by all the people that turned out for him today, all the ex-players, that just how highly he was regarded, I suppose, in that dressing room.
Yeah, and plus what's fantastic is they're all great lads as well, you know, so we have a really, really good day. And thanks to the crowd for coming as well, because it's been brilliant.
You came up against some of the Cork City legends today. How did you get on?
Yeah, fantastic. It feels good. I haven't touched the ball in 6 months, so it's it feels good to be back. No, not at the moment.
Yeah.
No, I'm focusing on the family life.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Ishil, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, certainly is. All right, finally, I'm going to hear from another Cork City legend, Anna Lambert. It's testimonial. I'm going to hear from Derek Collin.
Hi, with Derek Collin here now. Derek, what was it like being back in a city shirt in Turner's Cross?
It felt great being in a city shirt back in Turner's Cross, but I don't know what the body was doing though. Ollie Cal burning me up the wing there a few times. I didn't like that bit of it, but everything else was great. Yeah, great seeing all the lads here and being here for Benno and all of this happy atmosphere, and there's some excellent bits, a few touches there between Georgie and Flinney and Patsy Frey.
And
yeah, it was good.
And Bowdy running the show then for the 11.
Yeah, Bowdy running me wrong up front. But it is fantastic. There was some it's just great seeing all the faces, you know, fellas I haven't seen in a long time, and even seeing the fans. Just it's a no pressure, enjoyable day, and you see the penalty's been taken there now as well, you know, so it's great. I just met Dave Barry and Pat Dolan's here. It's fantastic.
And Alan Bennett himself, obviously a legend, you can see that by the outpouring of support here for him today.
Yeah, Benno's been amazing, you know, even in the last, I think when the last stint when we won the double and stuff, I always felt that when Benno was on the pitch, we were at our best, you know. He just has this his presence on the pitch and reads the game so well. He was always a fantastic athlete, just a fantastic footballer and a great Cork person, and delighted everyone came out to show their appreciation for what he's done, you know.
Which of the legends surprised you today?
Kelvin's two-footed tackle on Patsy Frayne, I suppose, was the biggest surprise they got. I don't know, I think I'll give the good surprise. There's a few surprises I didn't think fellas would be that bad, but there's a few. Ollie Cal still was outstanding.
Liam Kearney hitting the crossbar from 4 yards out was a highlight.
Yeah, I think John O'Flynn was Pat Dolan's assistant manager last days, and he was trying to pull Kearney off even though he was on for 5 minutes. He tried to take him off after that, you know, so.
Derek, cheers, buddy.
No bother.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to the legend that is Derek Collin. Just looking at Twitter, Kieran, following that incident with the Dublin player, Fitzsimons was, he showed a black card to. He then overturned it, even though he should have been giving a yellow card to O'Callaghan.
It should have been a black card. It was a pull down to Con O'Callaghan. It seems like he showed it to Fitzsimons, but he went and took number three's name. So there's a bit of confusion about that.
Should be clarified at some point.
Con O'Callaghan then went down and set up Dublin's next score.
Yeah,
which so obviously
that is going to be a talking point at halftime.
It's going to be a talking point for the rest of the day. Kerry have just got another point back, so 10-9 after 33 minutes.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Adrian Russell about his book, The Double, about Cork's Dublin 1990, and we're also going to preview the Avondhu Junior A Hurling Championship final.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM. Red FM Breakfast with Ray and Jay.
It's the weekend on Cork's number one radio station, and on Breakfast with Ray and Jay, Monday morning, 6 a.m. We're live from Porky Cueve. That's right. Ray and Jay performing live in Porky Cueve on Monday morning. We're going to be there for the exclusive announcement of who's playing a big gig there soon. Join us Monday.
Wakes me up. Weekday mornings from 6 with Blackwater Motors, Cork, Fermoy and Skibbereen. See what the Volkswagen commercial cash converter can do for you. Blackwatermotors.ie.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard the big announcement for Porky Cueve on Monday is the phenomenal return of DJ Kix.
Yeah, that's it.
You can't confirm or deny that at this stage.
Well, look, I'll say is I was on the phone to Ray Friday when they were setting up, and we've the location sorted for beside where that certain DJ will make a reappearance and absolutely trailblaze
DJ Kix. You'll sort us out for tickets, eh?
DJ Kix in the mix. I'll sort you out, yeah.
Cheers for that. All right, must be almost half time now, Kerr.
Yeah, 10-10. There's a minute left in injury time there. There was 3 minutes signalled. There's a huge amount of confusion over this card because, like you said, I didn't see him show the yellow.
I showed the black, book. Yeah. Did they just tick it? I don't know.
But there's been, I don't know, it's very, we'll find out at halftime, after halftime, but yeah, very, very, no one knows.
All right, just one reminder of our competition. We have two pairs of tickets to Cork City and Finn Harps this Friday night at The Cross. If you would like to go, just text us 086-8104-106 with your name and address and your answer to this question. Who did Alan Bennett partner in the centre of defence in Cork City's 2005 league winning season? 086-8104-106. All right, the Avenue Junior A Hurling Championship final taking place tomorrow in Castletown Road. Clyde Rovers, who haven't won the title in 30 years, going up against Harbour Rovers, who won it a number of times this decade. Kieran's been speaking to chairman of the division, Barry Ahern.
A big weekend last week for the division, with Kilchana getting the Synergy Credit Union Junior A Football Championship title against Kilworth. Before we go into the hurling final, which takes place tomorrow, just a word on that final. It was a good win for Kilchenig.
It was a good win for Kilchenig. The first half was even enough, but Kilchenig got a goal probably separate 10 minutes to go in the first half, and after that, you know, they kind of upped the ante, but Kilworth just they had a number of chances and didn't take them. And they were pressured at one stage, and they could probably have taken a point. And Kilchenig went down the field and got their first goal, and you know that was a big swing in favour of Kilchenig. But in fairness to Kilworth, they battled through. But Kilchenig are a fine football side, and they will certainly be a force to contend with in the county championship.
Certainly, and look, it's not over for Kilworth either. They still have hurling and county football championship to look forward to as well anyway. But tomorrow in Castletown Road, Clyde Rovers taking on Harbour Rovers Sunday the 15th at 3 o'clock. Another nice final to look forward to.
It's certainly that it is a game that has captured the imagination of hurling followers in Avondhu and indeed beyond. Clyde Rovers and Harbour Rovers are meeting in the Hibernian Hotel, sponsored Junior A Hurling Championship final in Castle North at 3 o'clock, as you say. And this is a repeat of the 2015 final, which Harbour Rovers won. And that was Harbour Rovers' first title in this championship. So an interesting contest is in store.
Yeah, and Clyde Rovers haven't been in the final in, is it 4 or 5 years possibly? But last time they were in it, they met Harbour Rovers as well.
The last time they were in the final was 2015. They haven't won the final since 1989,
right?
And which is 30 years ago. So that's an incentive for Clyde this weekend. Clyde have won this championship on two occasions, in 85 and 89. And the last time they won it in 89, they went on to win the county championship.
Yeah.
And they were actually captained in 1989 by John Roach, who is the current treasurer of the North Cork board. So
a lot of ties there. So
interesting.
Yeah,
there is indeed. There is a lot of links between the Clyde team of 30 years ago and today's team. You know, there's John has his son playing in goals. Mm-hmm. Noel Carey has his son Ray in the backs. Yes. That's Ray, the former Cork footballer. Cormac O'Sullivan has his son Cian playing around midfield for Cormac himself played. Yes. Brendan Walsh, who played in the forwards in 89. Has his son David playing in the forward sextet as well, and another link with the 89 team is Dan O'Sullivan. He was full back in 89 and he is now a selector, so they will not be found lacking of experience on the sideline anyway.
Yeah, Harbour Rovers a strong outfit in the Avenue Championship over the last number of years as well. They've appeared in a few finals.
They have, I suppose you could say, dominated the junior hurling championship in this decade. This is their third final this decade. They won their two previous appearances in 2015 and 2016. But unfortunately for them, they did not progress in the county championship. So that's another incentive for Harbour Rovers on Sunday.
Yeah, the game taking place in Castletown Roach, I think it's fair to say one of the best venues around.
It is. Castletown Roach also hosted the final in 2015. It is an excellent venue. There's ample parking. There's a lovely stand there which is seating for a big crowd. And, you know, wherever you are in Castletown Roach, you have a fine bank on one side and you have the stand on the other side. And, you know, so we're looking forward to a beautiful day and I think we'd have an excellent final.
Yeah, and I think if you ask most players in the division their favourite pitch, they'll probably say Castletown as well.
Yes, Castletown. I mean, like, if you can't play hurling in Castletown, yeah, you can't play hurling. That would be my opinion. It's an excellent field and it's always in pristine condition for championship matches. For any match in that matter, you know, no matter what grade the championship is.
Yeah, interesting you mentioned that the two sides last met 5 years ago and it also happened to be Castletown Roach. I think Harbour Rovers just pulled away in that final, in that stage. It was a real, there was a lot of rain that day, but Harbour Rovers kind of pulled away towards the end anyway.
They did, Jed. I think the final score on that occasion was 113 to 10 points in favour of Harbour Rovers. So, you know, on that score, you know, it's going to be a difficult game to call. I mean, like Clyde, I suppose, we look to current players, Seamus Money and Keane O'Sullivan, Conor Flanagan, Chris Buckley and Ray Carey, while Harbour Rovers would look to Stevie Condon to provide inspiration. Now, there is a doubt about Stevie Condon at the moment, I think, so yeah. Hopefully he will make some appearance during the day anyway. And Shane O'Riordan, David Pine, Patrick Hannon, Sean Finn are others that Harbour Rovers would look to for inspiration.
Clyde Rovers possibly might have had the tougher route to the final. They overcame Sean Ballymore in the first round over in Mallow. And they've had a few tougher games. Not that Harbour Rovers haven't had tough games, but maybe the Clyde have had the harder side of the draw, will they?
Yeah, Clyde certainly came through the tough side. I mean, like in round one, they were drawn against Shamblemore, who were last year's finalists, and they beat them 2-14 to 2-11. Then in the quarter final, they were pitted against the reigning champions, Paddy Giblin, and here again they came out on top 2-11 to 2-9. Now in the semi-final, they were paired with Killabullen, and it took them a replay to overcome them. In the first game, it ended 9 points each. But in the replay, Clyde won easily, 119 to 12 points. Now in their four games in the championship today, they've scored 5 goals and 53 points.
Nice.
But they've conceded 4 goals and 41 points.
Okay.
Harbour Rovers, on the other hand, had an easier passage to the showpiece. In round one, they overcame Ballyclare 222 to 9 points, and in the quarter final, Kilkenny were the victims, 218 to 10 points,
yeah.
And that moved them into the semi final, where they had a 115 to 12 points win, and the goal came late in the game for them. All right, but they scored 5 goals and 55 points in 3 games,
okay,
conceding just 31 points. So the Harbour Rovers defence is mean and tight. So, you know, it will be interesting.
Yeah, and just Before I leave Gozal, Barry, do you think it would have any effect that Harbour Rovers, Glanrot in the football, are still in the championship, whereas Clyde aren't in the championship, so they've been able to concentrate on hurling, whereas I suppose Harbour Rovers have been doing both codes?
Well, yes, certainly. Clyde Rovers were unfortunately not for them knocked out of the football championship recently, so they've had their whole focus on this game, whereas Harbour Rovers on the football side would be Glenmore, and they are still in the intermediate football championship, so they have an eye on that, and it, you know, it may have hindered their preparations a little bit for Sunday.
Yeah, and look, lastly, Barry, hopefully a big crowd, a big turnout in Castletown.
We're certainly expecting a big crowd in Castletown. I think the weather forecast is good for the weekend, so I know there are other games on around the county, but I'd say the first allegiance of a lot of people will be Castletown Road at 3 o'clock on Sunday for the meeting of Clyde Rovers and Harbour Rovers in the Hibernian Hotel during a hurling championship final.
Yeah, well, look, Barry Hearn, chairman of Avondhu GA, looking forward to an entertaining junior A football, hurling final, the Hibernian Hotel sponsored between Clyde Rovers and Harbour Rovers tomorrow in Castletown at 3 o'clock. Barry, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Gillon.
Yeah, to Avondhu chairman Barry Hearn, looking forward to tomorrow's game between Clyde Rovers and Harbour Rovers. Half time between Dublin and Kerry, 10 points apiece. This is so very finely balanced. We get a half time report now from Amora Trasny Kellick.
Half time, Dublin 10 points, Kerry 10 points. Dublin started out the more aggressive, while Kerry began by constantly lobbing high balls into their forwards, bearing little fruit, especially when high ball specialist Tommy Walsh was keeping the bench warm. They changed tack though and began kicking over the scores, and you could tell it was causing the Dublin back some worry. It's had some pace to it so far. By the 20th minute, 13 scores and just the one from free. Con O'Callaghan and Paul Mannion in particular have been showing us what Dublin can do with the opposition's post within their sights. Mannion kicked two superb points in the opening quarter. But then Kerry did get the run on them, equalising for the first time on the cusp of half time with the Paul Gainey point. Half time, Dublin 10 points, Kerry 10 points.
Very finely balanced, I think, is the phrase we're looking for.
It is.
Considering the start, the Dubs had gotten off, and we were like, oh, here we go again, here we go again. But
there's very well, they are in it. It's a draw game, but I'm just watching replays there. I think you are right, he overruled. I think he showed the book. Mm. By accident.
Right.
Because that was the old way of doing it before the black card came in. And then he told Fitzsimons that it was a ticking. But just looking at other replays, Kieran Kilkenny could be gone as well for hauling a player down. But he's got away with it. It'll be interesting to see what comes of that. But yeah, very,
hopefully
very
it's not an incident that kind of defines the game.
Hopefully not, but in one way, it's like, well, no, if it was a black card, it definitely would have still thrown Dublin out with their matchups. You know, it's not just they're losing a player because Dublin's bench is a fantastic bench, but it's the matchups as well. But I don't think it'll throw it too much out, even if it did. But Kerry coming back into it, because we were worried, well, I was worried anyway at the start of the match that, you know, it was already gone from them. Once Dublin get going, that's kind of it. They get away from you. But the fact that it's...
Kerry are dogging, aren't they?
They really are. They're playing very well. Twitter saying that maybe they're not getting the breaks so far. But that happened, you know, that's 2.5 to 12, whatever, that'll go for both teams. But it really is finally balanced at the moment at half time, 10 points apiece. Kerry, they never fall down, you know, and I'm sure Peter Keane has plans as well. But Gavin, the Dublin manager, Jim Gavin, he's been doing a lot of talking to David Coldrick on the sideline as well. He's doing a bit of a Brian Cody there. Whatever he's saying, I don't know. Yeah. But it's very interesting game so far. Hopefully, I'd like to see Kerry win it, but they're certainly not going away, and they're still in it. It was the same in the first game as well, you know, and we saw how that went. This game can still end up in a draw after extra time. It will go to extra time, but it could go to a draw.
In a third match.
On September 28th, I think they're saying, another Saturday as well.
The GAA would be very upset with that, I'd say.
Very upset. Sure, yeah. Look, having to open up Croke Park again, forget the millions it brings in. I'm sure a lot of football people would be delighted, but it'd be a long time since three All-Ireland finals in 1 year, I'd say. After two replays, it hasn't been, I don't know, has that ever happened?
It is very close, right, so not beyond the realms of possibility.
Yeah, it could happen, but yeah, very, very finely balanced game so far.
10 points apiece is how it stands. All right, going to go around the grounds in the Premier League. Norwich City 2, Manchester City 1 is the latest score from out there. 46 minutes on the clock. Kenny McLean, Ty Cantwell with the goals for Norwich before Sergio Aguero pulling back. In fact, I tell a lie, it's Norwich City 3. Manchester City won. The page I'm reading it off hasn't refreshed. Timu Pukki, the fantasy football legend, has made it 3-1 in favour of Norwich City against Manchester City. As things stand, I know there's only 5 games played. Liverpool will be 5 points clear at the top of the Premier League table.
Isn't that a great thing? Finally, you've upped Liverpool. That's great. We'll take that off the logger now and put that up.
we'll hear how Liverpool got their 3 points today. They were made to work hard by Newcastle United. Shane Pennington.
Liverpool 3, Newcastle 1. Jurgen Klopp's men recovered well from the early setback of conceding first to in the end register what was a routine victory. Jethro Willem stunned Anfield by firing the visitors ahead after just 7 minutes, but Sadio Mane curled home to level matters, and from that point onwards there was only ever going to be one winner. Mane got his second after Dubravka howler, and Mo Salah put the game beyond any doubt, firing home after a sublime flick from Roberto Firmino. Liverpool 3, Newcastle 1.
Manchester United back to winning ways today and up to fourth as well. Darren Stanage.
Manchester United 1, Leicester 0. The only goal of the game, 7 minutes. Rashford fell in the box by Sionko. A clumsy challenge. Rashford sending Schmeichel the wrong way from the spot. The Reds, though, failed to create too many more meaningful chances. Schmeichel comfortably saved from Maguire and Mata, although Rashford's free kick struck the bar on 82. Leicester created one or two opportunities. David Ayer tipped over Chilwell's effort, and Diddy fired widely to stop his time. In the end, United fairly comfortable. This feels like a big win for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side. United 1, Leicester 0.
And Tottenham beating Crystal Palace today. Mike Lawrence at White Hart Lane.
Tottenham Hotspur 4, Crystal Palace 0. A superb first half performance. Looking like the Tottenham side we've seen consistently reach the top four in the Premier League. Crystal Palace's impressive start to the season was blown apart as Tottenham ran riot. A sweet Heung-min Son goal set them on their way. He added a second after Van Aanholt had put through his own net before Eric Lamella sealed it just before the break. Maybe no surprise the second half was uneventful by comparison. Tottenham Hotspur 4, Crystal Palace 0.
Watching Sheffield United and Southampton today was Joe Rawson.
Sheffield United 0, Southampton 1, an entertaining game with plenty of chances that took a bit of individual brilliance from Moussa Djenepo to separate the two sides. The goal came on 67 minutes with the Mali international winning possession midway in the Blades half after some sloppy passing from the host. He had an awful lot of work to do, taking on 1, 2, 3, 4 defenders before firing the ball into the far corner of Dean Henderson's net. Chris Wilder will be frustrated that his team failed to take any of their opportunities. David McGoldrick forced good saves from Angus Gunn on a couple of occasions, with Norwood and Fleck also missing chances, though Southampton themselves will feel they should have had more than just the one. United captain Billy Sharp was sent off for a high challenge on Stuart Armstrong to sour the afternoon further for them, but it's the second consecutive away win in the Premier League for the Saints, who go marching home with 3 points. Full time, Sheffield United 0, Southampton 1.
And watching Brighton and Burnley today was Richard Newman.
Full time, Brighton and Hove Albion 1, Burnley 1. Jeff Hendricks, brilliant late strike in the 91st minute, denying Brighton the first home win of the season. He fired into the bottom corner from outside the box, completely against the run of play. Brighton thought they'd done enough. They dominated the second half, went ahead through Neil Mopai, the summer signing from Brentford. He volleyed in a cross from Solly March early in the second half, and March was excellent throughout. Burnley rarely threatened, but it was that late punt from Hendrick which has ensured Sean Dyche's side will return home with a point. It's finished Brighton 1, Burnley 1.
And as we heard earlier, Chelsea scoring 5 against Wolves as they won by 5-2 today. Unbeaten now in 4 against Tammy Abraham with a hat-trick today for the Blues. Manager Frank Lampard says the English striker's hard work is paying off.
Now I think he feels the responsibility of the Chelsea shirt, as he should, and the number nine, and the last three games speak for themselves. Now the only challenge now for Tammy is, can you keep doing it? Can you get better and better? Because the way he's playing, he's a huge threat for us up front.
Yeah, that's Frank Lampard speaking after today's win. And just to double check on the Premier League game that's happening at the moment, 68 minutes now on the clock. It is Norwich City leading Chelsea by 3-1.
Wow, that's interesting. Chelsea starting to do very well on
Manchester
Lampard.
City, I should say. Yeah, a fantastic win for... I think he's going to be a success with Chelsea, and that was a good win today. Scoring 5 goals, always going to be good for your confidence levels as well.
Yeah.
So a good result for them, and I think there's going to be a lot more to come from that Chelsea team over the coming months. All right, we are out of time. Second half just about to kick off, or throw on, I should say, Dublin and Kerry level at 10 points apiece. Our competition on the show, tickets to give away to Cork City and Finn Harps. The answer we were looking for was Dan Murray, and the winners we have picked out, Ciarán, are...
The winner is Shane Quinn from Toker, and also, because we're two pairs, is Noreen Ahern and Douglas.
Enjoy, guys. Head along to Cork City Infant Harps. We have another pair, two pairs of tickets to give away tomorrow, and that's with thanks to the Rebel Army, CorkCitySC.ie. Cork should have, of course, very proud partners to the Rebel Army. We are out of time. In a word, Ciarán, Dublin or Kerry?
Kerry.
Dublin. We'll discuss that in tomorrow evening show. All right, folks. We didn't have time to play Adrian Russell. We'll play that tomorrow as he looks ahead or talks about his book, the Dublin, about Cork's fantastic Dublin in 1990. I'm also going to hear from Pat Dolan and John O'Finn, who we didn't have time to hear from today, from Alan Bennett's testimonial. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, folks. We'll speak to you tomorrow at 6.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.